All right, let me share with you just a couple little things. I was sharing with you, and I'll get back into this next week, the vision, the Liberty Christian Life Center birth and vision, how this this ministry was established and what God did to get our attention. And we're not, so to speak, tooting our own horn, but on the other hand, every one of you are so vital, what God's done in you, that you need to rise up in it. And don't be ashamed of it. And if it's little, don't be ashamed of it. And if you feel like you're not getting a lot done, don't be ashamed of that, because you're needed. And God is, He knows what He's doing. And delight yourself in Him. And that's why you just keep getting it released. Anyway, 1976, actually, in Fairway, Kansas. We came to Olathe in 1977. I'm talking to you about worshiping in spirit and in truth. We were practicing that today. And the flow that comes out of that is the miraculous, the supernatural. I was part, Candy and I had gone to work for an little Assembly of God church called Gospel Temple in Kansas City, Kansas, in the Argentine district. And it was a blessed small little church. And when we started, there was some folding chairs with about 30 people or 25 people. And before long, the church was getting packed, and we put up our first building, and people were getting saved, and young people were coming in, and it was an exciting place. And we had a couple hundred people. Before long, I shared with you a prophecy that when I wasn't walking with the Lord, my parents were praying for me. Candy turned her heart to Jesus and entered into a prayer covenant with a pastor at that church for me. It only took a week, and by 10 days, within 10 days, I caved in and surrendered my life to Jesus. We sat at it around our dining room table at our house and said, we're not going to do it halfway. If we're going to do it, then we want to, He's worth all. And so that means we're going to give up. And we started listing our things that we knew were in rebellion, and we laid them down. And we said, we know we're going to start giving, right? And we know what that means. And we talked about that. And it means, you know, the way we live and what we're doing is going to change. And we came into agreement with that. And so the week prior to that, the pastor, I was sitting uncomfortably in a worship service because I was out of fellowship. And he had a prophetic word and called me out and said that God had established me to lead worship. And so I just held my peace and went to him quietly after service and said, Pastor Houghton, I'm not qualified for that. I'm not, my life isn't in any shape for that. And I'm not your man. And he said, that's exactly what I told him. He said, but he's not moving on it. And so I surrendered. And we jumped in with both feet and started serving the Lord the best that we knew how. And it's important that you get started. See, we got started and we didn't know very much, but we started just yielding ourselves and doing what needed to be done. And so I knew that I was going to be a church ministry. And so I would just hang around the church. We just stayed. I was the last one. I was the first one there. I was the last one to leave. I opened the church. I locked up the church. I cleaned the church. We cleaned the restrooms. And before long, they needed a youth minister. And I got that job. And then they needed a choir director. And before long, I was leading worship. And then we had what was, by that time, our church had grown to 250, 300 people. I was just young, Candy and I were just young babies in the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the pastor again and gave him another far out word. Said they had what was called the auditorium Sunday school class. And that was the class of people who were 50 years old and older. they had a young marriage class, and you know, and then some teens and all, and guess what class that he said the Holy Spirit told him to put me in? See, God establishing, getting ready for some things. He said, I think the Holy Spirit has said that you're supposed to take over that auditorium class. Of all those people between 50 and I think it was the oldest one was 92 years old at that time. And I said, I'm in my early 20s. And you know, you're not hearing very well, Pastor, you know. But see, God knows what he's doing. And anyway, out of that came, I'll be sharing with you next week, the Lord willing, how God expanded our hearts to these two areas of orphans and of widows and senior citizens. But it started right back there, God knowing, submit yourself to the Lord. Those who you recognize have a place of leadership that God has inserted into your life, listen up. Even when it doesn't make sense, God knows what he's doing. God's in control. And that pastor spoke to me, and I said, and I remember I had some, and I went into that Sunday school class, and they were so stubborn, and they were so set in their ways. And I was young, and I was so innovative. And I remember one time I even took all the chairs out of the class. And boy, it made some of them so mad. And so I was learning about them, and they were learning about me. But the class started growing, and the church was blessed. Anyway, it was, and I got a heart for some of these cranky older people. I mean, there was one fella who was a thorn in my flesh. He was, I don't know, whatever I was going to teach, he was going to argue with me. He thought Sunday school class was argument class. And he was going to argue with me. I had to learn how to interact. I had to learn how to submit when I needed to submit. And I needed to learn how to exercise authority when I was supposed to exercise authority. And it took me a while. But God is so gracious. He'll adjust you and he'll help you to learn. But in that, I fell in love with especially those aged people. And that was the beginning of something wonderful. That's not what I've come to talk to you about today. We went home. Anyway, we were having a wonderful time in that church. But we were stuck. And so many people today are stuck. They're stuck in a place. They're stuck in a routine. And maybe it's a good routine. You can say, I like this, and I like this, and I like this. But God might be saying, I want to expand your boundaries, and I want to show you something more, and I want to bring you into something more. So anyway, out of that time, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And we were hungering. I remember in one service where we were sitting right up here on this side, there was a sweet lady named Mary Custer. She was sitting right here. And Candy and I were sitting right up here in front of her, right up in front. And we were worshiping, and we were into one of those praise times. And Candy had been seeking the Lord so desperately. She was brought up Lutheran, and she wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so she had been praying and seeking the Lord. Well, just a couple of weeks before that, Mary Custer, she'd been coming in on her lunch. I had a church office there, and she'd come in every day. She was the owner and operator of La Casino's Mexican restaurant. And as soon as lunch hour was over, about 1:30 or 2 o'clock, every day she'd come into the church. We had a prayer room. My office is right here. The prayer room was two doors down. And she'd say, "Hello, Pastor Gary." And she was in there, and she was seeking also at that time to be filled or baptized in the Holy Spirit. And she'd come in every day as soon as her lunch hour was over, and she'd get in that prayer room. Well, it took, and so we'd minister back and forth to each other, and it took just 2 or 3 weeks of that for her to work through whatever she needed to work through. And I was sitting in my office one day, And just minding my own business. It was nice and quiet in there, quiet as a church. And all of a sudden, a shriek went out from that prayer room. And she started flowing in tongues loudly. And you have to understand, see, Mary never She never spoke loudly and never prayed loudly. And but boy, when she got filled, there was a radical change. And just a few minutes later, up and down the hallway, just bubbling over, and the joy of the Lord. Well, that had just happened to her. So Candy now was seeking to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We were on a Sunday night service, and Mary was sitting here. Candy was sitting in front of her. And the Holy Spirit was moving. We'd been worshiping. We had our hands up, and Candy started shaking. I mean, and Candy's not a shaker. She never shook before. But she started shaking and vibrating is what Mary called it. And Mary just reached up before long, and she said, "Honey, how long are you going to vibrate like that?" And Candy said, "I don't know what's wrong with me." And Mary said, "I do." She says, "You're full of the Holy Spirit, and you won't let him out." She says, "Open your mouth, girl." And Candy just opened her mouth, and whoa, out like a river comes flowing. The very next service, in that service, God started using her to give messages in tongues. And it wasn't just a prayer language that was received, but God had a gift, a gifting or a calling on her life to for one of those gifts of the Holy Spirit to be. And then that followed us all the way through the days of our ministry. Some of you remember years ago. Anyway, we were in a blessed church, and it was a happy time, but we were stuck still. We got stuck in a routine. And I went home, and we were so hungry for God, and I was just presenting myself to him. 1976, I'm in my bedroom in Fairway, Kansas, and I entered into a season, into a time, a vision that took 2.5 hours, or a dream, I'm not sure what it was. And this is what happened to me. I opened up my eyes, and I was in the midst of a host. And I call him the Lord of Hosts. He's called the Lord of Hosts. That usually means a host of angels. But in Psalm 103, verse number 21, it says, "Bless the Lord in the midst of the host of the Lord of Hosts. Bless him." And then it describes who the host is that he's talking about there. And it's not just angels. When he says the Lord of Hosts, sometimes he's talking about the hosts of people. And God has a lot of people that you're not aware of. And there's a lot of strength that's being released through the body of Christ right now that you're not aware of. And you're not alone. You're part of an innumerable host of those who are... Well, I mean, John the Revelator saw him on the other side, and he said, "Who are those who are all arrayed in those white robes over there?" Says, "Who are they, and what meaneth those white robes that they're wearing?" And he says, those are they that have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. And those white garments that they're wearing is the righteousness that's been given them. Ha! And in that vision, there I was, and I was, but I didn't see them in white robes. I was part of an innumerable host. I've never in my lifetime been part. So I knew it was a spiritual thing. And so that at first, now, we talked about this last week, all ages, male and female, all cultures. I knew there's cultures because there was different garbs. You know how people in different parts of the world are dressed different ways, and there were different languages. I could see interaction going on, different languages, different races, different colors, different eye slants, those type of things. And so, well, I went to the pastor the next day, fast forward, and was telling him about this. I said, "I think I've seen heaven," and I started to describe it. He said, "No, you didn't see heaven." I said, "Well, it sure felt like it was heaven." He said, "You're supposed to pray that it be on the earth like it is in heaven." And he says, so, and something was being released on the earth. He said, that was a vision of what's coming on the earth, not heaven. He said, and here's some of the way I know. There's no male or female in heaven. Said, and then he reminded me of that vision John had. He said, when he saw them, he said, he didn't see some wearing saris and some wearing different outfits. He said, they were all wearing the same garments. They were all in these white linen garments. They were all, that's heaven anyway. And so, everybody get the picture? So it was a vision. I was seeing a vision of something that is on the earth. And I didn't know if it's on the earth right now or what he's getting ready to do. And then I found out it's both. Okay. And so immediately there was such a roar of noise, such a roar of praise. I don't know if you've ever been, I likened it one time when I was sharing this with somebody. I used to go out to, my Uncle Bob took me out when I was a little boy to Lakeside Speedway out in Kansas City, Kansas, and they had those, some kind of loud cars, and I mean, it was all you could do. He'd try to talk to me. He asked me if I wanted popcorn, and I couldn't understand. I couldn't hear a thing because of the roar. Anyway, I was in here, and some of you need to get in the presence of something where the roar is so loud that you can't hear anything else. I mean, I know what this guy, you can see that this guy's trying to say something, but you can't hear what he's saying. Or you can see, maybe the enemy's trying to drop something on you, but you can't get that picture because of the roar. There's a roar. There's a roar of a lion, of the lion of the tribe of Judah. There's a roar of his presence that can be heard. He can drown out. When the praises of the enemy, when the praises of God are in the face of the enemy, the voice of the enemy is stilled. Amen. That's Psalms 2:8, I think. It says that his praises will drown out the voice of the enemy. Amen. So anyway, I was in that, and the roar was so loud. But it was diverse in that it was... I heard these different languages all going, and diverse because of the young and the old, because of the male and the female, and it wasn't just all a male's chorus or something, you know. But I wrote here, but not confusion. You'd think with all that noise that there would be, there's something different about the presence of God. I'm telling you, some of you have been taught about some things. I remember when Candy first started seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and she said, but I don't want to get loud, you know, and I don't want to be confusion and all that kind of stuff. But she got loud. Some of you know that when the Holy Spirit moved upon her, but it wasn't confusion. I want to help you. It says, don't think that everything that is loud is confusion. Sometimes it's just loud to bring peace. And the noise of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, the voice of the archangel, with a shout in the voice of the archangel, loud enough to raise the dead. See? But that's not confusion. That's bringing into life. And so the din or the noise of that place was so all-consuming that all I was aware of everybody else, but I could not hear them in particular. And see, God's voice wants to get so loud for you. The presence of the Lord wants to be so loud for you that you can't be offended. I said the presence of the Lord wants to be so loud for you that you can't notice things that would offend or things that would make you uncomfortable. See, love wants to be so loud for you that it covers a multitude of sin. I'm talking about in a different kind of language, but the love of the Lord needs to be loud. I see, I'm in a vision here, and it's not like when I say, because I know some of you are thinking of loud like thundering and that kind of noise, but love can be loud. Mercy can be loud. Wouldn't it be great if he was in a place where mercy was so loud that condemnation could not be there? The mercy of God loud. The roaring of the lion of the tribe of Judah. And I was in that place, and I was so caught up and so blessed. And then because I was thinking of this, I was thinking, boy, this must be confusion. No, this isn't confusion, is it? And I realized it was so synchronized. It was so together. Some of you need to be bold enough to step out to do something different so we can be together. That doesn't make any sense, does it? Said some of you need to be so willing to give up what you're used to step out to do what you're being prompted to do so that there can be a supernatural synchronization. God knows what he's doing. God's got a plan. And you're part of that plan. And your uniqueness is part of that plan. And that calling that is upon you. And so I was aware that we were there was a oneness that I've never experienced in my life. I remember being so in love with Candy and wanting to be so close to her. And, you know, I mean, you go cheek to cheek, but you can only get so close before it hurts. Okay, Gary, you're hurting me, you know. I know, but I'm not close enough. There's a oneness that is yet to come. See, in the natural, you can only get so close. There's something wonderful that happens when you press in to Him, press in to know Him, because a supernatural way is made for the two to literally become one. And you lose yours and you gain that other presence. So good. That synchronization. I'm going to quit for this morning. I want to get to an English lesson. Let's do one more thing. Shouts. I was talking with Wayne and Lilith, I think, at the end of service last week. Because everything I'm going to share with you now, I'm talking to you about part of the vision of our church is to bring down walls. The next phase was to enter into worship in spirit and in truth. And there's not a lot of that that's going on. But God is starting to break in. And He's been very patient, waiting for a long time. And there's a bursting forth of something. And so what He was allowing me to experience was the last days flowing of His river that people worldwide are going to experience. I mean, get ready, hallelujah. You're part of this movement of the Holy Spirit. Anyway, the different elements of this vision... Since I saw it, I have been in different places where those different things are going off. Now, to me, it wasn't synchronized because I was over here and this is what they were doing. And then I was over here and this is what they were doing. And then I was with Brother Rowden at Evangelistic Center and this is the way they were doing it. And they had that unique way of doing the song of the Lord. And then I was over here where they were... where it was apostolic Pentecostal, and they were completely out of control and jumping and dancing. And then I was over here, and they were dancing too, but they were dancing flowingly and synchronized. And I said, well, whew, that's kind of wild, but that back there, now that's interpretive dancing. I can see the Holy Spirit doing that. And then a song going over here, but the music going over there was almost a rap kind of music. And I said, whoa, and I was having trouble putting all that together. But anyway, the things that I'm going to share with you at different times, I've been in different places where I saw. And so what I'm sharing with you is that God's a big God. And He's got a lot of ways. And there's a whole number of saints who are doing it. And there's a spiritual synchronization that you don't see without spiritual help. But God's gonna, He's getting ready to open up our eyes and let the body of Christ flow together. And you don't have to tell that one, you can't do that kind of music anymore, and you can't do this kind of dance anymore. But there's going to be a flowing, and you're going to say, oh, do I ever need that? That's exactly what I need, because I already have this. You know, this is trite, maybe. I don't know what kind of church you come from. But when we got called, Candy first said, I can't be a pastor's wife because I don't play the piano. Because that was the number one requirement for a pastor's wife. See, now you're not old enough to be from that kind of church, I can already tell. But see, if you remember when you was a kid, how many of you ever had a pastor whose wife didn't play the piano? I don't think I ever had one. All the time I grew up, but God's doing a new thing. See? And she said, I can't be a pastor's wife because I can't play. Well, because we had in our church, we had the piano on this side and we had an organ on that side. And the organ had that pipe organ type sound, and that was, you know, it was good. And I remember the first time somebody brought in a guitar, and we didn't know if that was okay or not. You know, we didn't, you know, guitars were for bands out there and that kind of thing. And we were a church, you know. We're holy. We want to have worship. We want to do praise like we're supposed to do. But before long, that guitar started adding to us. And it released something in us. And I never will forget the first time we had a young kid who was taking drum lessons. His mom and dad bought him a drum set for Christmas. And the kid brought it to church. Took the whole drum set to church. Said, I was wondering if I could just leave it here and I'd just come in and I'm going to do my lessons here in the afternoon. No, this is church, man. You can't do this. This is a sanctuary. Can't be beating those drums like that in here. But before long, none of the walls came down. And thank God we had drums. And then before long, he started sneaking in, kind of playing them softly. First, he started with just the brushes back there. Oh, before long, he got set free, and he's pounding those drums. Hallelujah. And it released something in there. Well, then we had a bass. Praise God. Here we are. We got our little group, and then God brought us a flute. Did you feel that? So, well, you can't do that in church, can you? Well, yeah. How many of you did it release something else? Does it? Amen. See, this is the orchestra. This is that synchronization. This is that flowing as the Holy Spirit moves upon you. And it's a spiritual thing. It's not just a physical thing. Well, what am I trying to tell you? Anyway, I've started visiting different places where these different things, one of them was, as in this vision, I started hearing people shout things. They were shouting phrases, kind of like religious phrases, just speaking them, using their mouths to say things. But they were looking around and saying and looking at different people. And say, like, it's things like, oh, bless the Lord. Oh, bless his great name. Praise God. See, I'm in the midst now. You got to multiply that times a thousand. And you say, well, that's confusion, isn't it? Oh, no. I mean, I was hearing it. I was hearing it. It said, bless the Lord. Oh, bless his great name. Oh, thanks be to God. Oh, thanks be to the Lord God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. God Almighty. Hallelujah. Blessing and honor and praise. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Somebody over on this side going, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy. Ha, ha, ha. One more over here. I'm talking about, it was going off everywhere I looked. Now, here's what I noticed. I noticed this. One guy, he was coming by, he walked by and he'd say to the other, he'd say, oh, bless the Lord. And the one that was over him was just like he was in an echo chamber or something. Because this guy would look at this guy right now and say, oh, bless the Lord. And he'd say, oh, yes, bless the Lord. Oh, isn't the Lord good? Oh, yes, the Lord's good. Hallelujah. It'd go off. And it was just like, see, reverberation. It was the sound. It was the sound. It was the sound of life. You know what's wrong with the church today? Do you know? We need to have the sound of life going off. There's something that happens. It's not just about you. It's about, listen, if you'll be bold enough to do this, something's going to echo. There's a reverberation. There's a bouncing off. You can't look at somebody in the face and talk about the goodness of God without it bouncing off of them. Something's going to erupt in them. And out it comes anyway. So as I was doing that then, and I'd never seen that. See, we never did that in our church. We had a way of doing things, the nice religious way. If you're Nazarene, you know the Nazarene way. If you're Baptist, you know the Baptist way. If you're Assembly, you know the Assembly way. You know how all that is. But God, wouldn't you love to know God's way? Wouldn't you love to see it from his perspective? And God started opening that up to me. And so there I was, and I was so uncomfortable with all of it at first. But here, and so somebody said, you need to get down to Tulsa to one of the camp meetings with Brother Hagin. And they talked about it enough. And I said, okay, Ken, let's go. And we saved our money, and we went down and stayed. It was such a blessed time. They put us in. We made early arrangements, but we stayed in a hotel, and so it was always exciting for me. I was just a young, brand new minister, and just going up and down the elevators, because whoever was going to get in, the door going to open. And I remember the first time, very first night we was there, the elevator door opened, and Billy Joe and Sharon Doherty came in, stood right next to us. Somebody says, so? Well, there's just something happened right there. And see, there was something that was on them. And they came up to us like that. I'd never been. You see, you have to understand, you who are in what we call the charismatic movement, if you're as old as I am, there are days when there wasn't times of people being slain in the spirit, or people sometimes being moved upon physically with a jolting or with a jerking or with a... we didn't know any of that kind of stuff. We knew about raising hands, but we raised them like this because this is the way everybody raised their hands. We didn't know you could raise them like this. And then when they started doing this, we thought those were the fanatics, you know. Those were the... Do you hear what I'm talking to you about this morning? God was expanding our boundaries. Well, anyway, I'm in that camp meeting. And we got there early, so we get in. I'm on row number two. We're in there, and if you have men camp meeting, well, the first row is they're all lined up with Kenneth and Gloria, and all the brass is on the first row. Well, Candy and I, we was there early, so we was on the second row, and so Brother Hagin started ministering, and he came down, and I had never seen this happen any place. They had been doing it for a while, I guess. But we'd never seen anything like it in our little Assembly of God church. And he just started walking back and forth. He walked back and forth, and he fixed his eyes on me, and he said, "Oh, bless the Lord." But he, you know, there was something about him when he said it that it almost knocked me down. And before him, it was almost like an echo that went off. I said, "Oh, bless the Lord." He said, "Isn't God good?" I said, "Oh, God, so good." I mean, it was just, and it started bouncing back and forth, and it didn't happen, and it went just like this, pow. It was going like this, and it went pow, 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 and the whole thing spread. See, the Holy Spirit's just waiting for some of you to make that first thing, to go ahead, open up your mouth boldly. Isn't the Lord good? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Huh. And it'll be bouncing off anyway. We started seeing those things happen. Let me stop right there. I'm going to share some interesting things with you about that vision, but can I give you this one little English lesson before we leave today? Wayne came in and he said, "Are we going to have an English lesson in church today?" He recognized some of these terms. In sentences, by the way, Jesus is the Word. And sentences are broken down into this. There are declarative sentences. Everybody know what a declarative sentence is? That's a sentence where you're just making a statement. I care about you. So, and then there's an interrogative. That's where, do you care about me? That's a question. And there's an exclamation. I care about you. And that's where you're exclaiming it. And it's a bursting forth of energy to capture you or to get you involved with that. And then there is an imperative sentence. Does anybody know what that is? That's a commanding sentence. And that is, care for me. Now, those of you that remember your old English classes, sentences are made up of, by the way, we speak. This is and all of us are speaking, and you're speaking with your life. You're speaking, some of you, by declaring. You're speaking, some of you, by asking. You're speaking, some of you, by shouting and being excited about something. And you're speaking sometimes by that command. Now watch, because God, you need to recognize the difference when he's speaking. Jesus did this a lot of times. A lot of times when he's teaching, he would ask questions to pull out. He's not dumb. He would not ask you a question if the answer wasn't in you. He's not asking you a question to humiliate you and say, "See, aren't you stupid?" No. He's asking you a question because this is in you and you haven't got it out yet, and I'm pulling it out of you. Sometimes he'll tell it to you. Sometimes he'll shout it to you. And sometimes he'll give it to you in the way of command. And when he gives it to you in the way of command, this is one of the last greatest things. Jesus has been teaching his disciples all this time. And you'll notice, and when he got to the end, he started giving them commands or commissions or imperatives, because something was getting ready to happen. There was a time when they had to be molded to him. They had to get cemented to him. They had to learn to give up who they were and enter into who he was. Anyway, and to form a sentence, and if you have an action verb, you have a subject. Let's say the subject is I. You have a verb or an action verb. Let's do this. I will praise. I praise the Lord, or I will praise. And then when you have a noun that follows an action verb, that's called a direct object, because it's just a noun that receives the action of the verb. The subject of the sentence is called the subject because, why do you think? It's who the sentence is about. God is getting ready to change our sentence structure. Because how many of you are hearing it in the Holy Spirit, and you're hearing it in, by voice, a prophetic voice all over? See, there's a season where this has to be released. This is not about us. It's not about me. Mike wanted to share something with you today, but before he did, he said, nope, that's not me. That's the Holy Spirit. See, he's already made these. He's making that transition right now. The Holy Spirit is doing, he's following that imperative or that command of the Lord. You know when somebody's starting to obey the command, because they lose the significance, the emphasis on the first part, on the subject, has moved and it's become a combo. Oh, this is such good teaching. It's become a combination of the doing and who you're doing it for. God's got his hand on you, but listen. So, when we used to have to, they don't even do this in school anymore. I asked my kids, I said, you need some help diagramming sentences? I can help you. I said, diagramming sentences? We don't diagram sentences. Well, you need to. To diagram a sentence, you put one line under that, that's the subject, the I. Two lines under this, we'll praise. You put one more line under this because it's a noun, and that's the direct object. And then you can take a little arrow, line with an arrow, and you put it from will praise over to the Lord, because the Lord receives this action. I will praise the Lord. But when it's changed to an imperative sentence, and he's speaking to you, notice, now watch, praise the Lord. What's the subject of that sentence? It's what? Mary said, see, she remembers her class, it's an understood subject. Doesn't even need to be spoken about. Not even going to mention your name. It's just understood. Because where's the emphasis now? Is the emphasis on the I? Oh, I praise the Lord. But when it comes to praise the Lord, seek the Lord. You know, it's the emphasis is moved over, and God's getting ready. He's got his hand on the church. He's moving us over. When I'm talking about worshiping in spirit and in truth, where it's so about him, where it's, and some of you are going to say, but I feel like I just have to do this. I feel like it's working in me. I have to do this for him. Oh, give way. Don't resist. Just let that become, because he is shifting the emphasis off of you. And it's, but I would be so embarrassed. Or what if they don't receive me? See, there's a shifting that comes place. Carol would never worship like she worshiped if she was worrying about how everybody is going to be, what they're thinking about her. She hit a place where he is so worthy. He is so worthy. It's so about him. I mean, it's her honor to get to do it now, see? And with you and your serving, or you and your giving, or you and your kindness. And this is, and so, but see, it's not about you. It's about all those things anyway. So that understood, the emphasis has changed and it's come over to this place. That's kind of, now, because the reason I stopped to do that is here's what we're going to do next. Is there any more up there? I'm going to share some things with you about using your words, about rehearsing the benefits, about bowing down, because when it says worship in spirit and in truth, notice it didn't say, you don't have to say, I will bow down. Oh, worship the Lord and bow down before him. Kneel before him. Kneel before him. Where's the subject at? It's understood. Don't have to put the focus on that. Put the focus on what? Him. So kneel. Him. So praise. Amen. When it comes to lifting hands, oh, I will lift up my hands. Well, that's good. Sometimes it says that. Lift your hands, O ye people. Shout unto God. Come on, where's the subject at? Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. It's understood. See, lift hands. Dance before the Lord with all your might. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Where's the subject at? It's just you got lost in it. This is the best way that I could try to explain to you what the Holy Spirit brought me into. He brought me into a time, let me see a season, where the flowing out was not about us and it wasn't even about what we were striving to do. I gave you a couple examples of Mary being filled with the Holy Spirit, Candy then being filled with the Holy Spirit, where for the season when it was about them, it was such a season of struggle, but when they both hit that place, that one who was so intimidated and you never heard from her before was up and down the aisle of that church. With the flowing of that wonderful gift, and that little Lutheran girl who thought all that was so fanatical and she didn't want to even be part of that, now is flowing in those very gifts of the Holy Spirit because it came about him and he was worthy of praise, and he's worthy for us to yield and to be participating with him in what he's doing and pressing into this Holy Spirit. And yes, this even had to happen to Jesus. Jesus knew what it was like to be crucified physically. He knew what it was like to be crucified emotionally. He knew what it was like to deny himself. He knew what it was like to be hungry and to choose rather to give what he had to you. He knew what it was like, to say, I would prefer to do it this way, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's what pressing into it is. And so for a while, it was about him. And you could see the change come in his ministry. Where it was not all for him. They said, oh, you'll be the greatest. He said, keep your eyes up on me and watch what I'm going to do. Because now I'm going to lay myself down that God might be all in all. And anyway, I was tasting of a wonderful experience. Okay, those of you that have to go, God bless you. I love you. Turn on, let's do holy water. Margo. Oh, thank you. Pie. I meant to, it's on my list. And it's your fault you got everything out of step today. Pat's mother got to go to be with the Lord this week. And there's a wake on Tuesday night and a mass funeral service for her on Wednesday morning. Pray for their family. Asked Pat what he needed. He said, just need comfort and prayer. And Pat had the honor of praying with his mother to receive Jesus years ago. Hallelujah. Amen. Bat your eyes a few times. How many of you remember Joe Boyce? Remember Brother Joe? I had a real shock this week. He had a birthday this week. I don't know if anybody see it. You may not be friends with him on Facebook, but Joe is 90 years old. I mean, that's real good, but the hard part was he looks younger than I do. And he's 90 years old. But he's serving the Lord, and he's just enjoying the blessing of God. So, anyway... Shows you how fast time goes. We're going to bat our eyes a few times and we'll be with those people who have gone on before us. So hallelujah. Yeah. I used to minister to those cranky people, and now I are one of those. Father, we're asking, Lord, in Jesus' name, the vision that you gave me, it was an all-night, 2.5-hour vision, kept coming, bringing me into a place that I'd never seen before. Since then, Lord, you've let me see little pictures of it. But Father, I just thank you that you're filling the earth with your glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for holding water. Thank you, Lord, for doing what we've not seen before.
God, I'm on my knees again. God, I'm begging, please, again, I need you.
Let's tell him.
God, I need you. Walking down these desert roads, water for my thirsty soul, I need you. Yes, God, I need you. Your forgiveness.
Margot stayed back there and stood as long as she could last week. If you feel led to get up in a different place.
It's like the sound of a symphony.
Something about being together. If you'd like to just bless the Lord together and
like
honor him.
Hallelujah. Water on my
Jesus.
Yeah.
In my vision, I saw people they were doing. I'd never been in church where anybody was swinging their arms around. I've never been in church where anybody was doing any kind of shaking or jerking.
To the riverside, take me under bad tides. I need you, oh God, I need you. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips.
Oh yes, it is.
It's like the sound of a symphony in my ears. It's like your grace, God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me wanna change. I don't wanna abuse your grace, God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me wanna change. Yeah, I don't wanna abuse your grace, God.
Acting like that. Jesus. Hey. Oh God. Jesus. Come on, you gotta participate with it. Oh, say. Lekasyat. Te makasai.